B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And last night was a rough one. I just didn't feel like we had it from the beginning. And, you know, we made a good spurt to get take the lead there, but late in the game. But, man, we were throwing the ball all over the place. We just didn't seem to have the same confidence and swag that we had in game three. And, you know, it's just hard to know why. I mean, you got to give your opponent credit. I think oftentimes we think, oh, you just didn't come out ready to play or didn't play hard enough and things like that. But oftentimes your opponent has a lot to do with that. And or Tyler Hero just looked like he was just shooting in the gym by himself there for a while.
That's Danny Ainge with his assessment of what happened last night to the Celtics, going down 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Heat. That was this morning on Toucher and Rich. Catch the full interview on 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. It was a really excellent interview, I thought. Asked just about everything you would want him asked in that situation. So we've been picking apart and going over some of those responses. That was his overall assessment for last night. Throwing the ball all over the place, why they came out that way, no one really knows. The thing that we would say also is that Miami came out in roughly the same condition, which was weird. You would think after a 3-day break they'd be refreshed and sort of both teams would be energized to get back at it. But for some reason, that 3-day break worked against both teams. Murray brought up the Breonna Taylor decision earlier in the day, maybe distracting him. Okay, so maybe it wasn't just the Celtics that came out with their head in the clouds. The Heat did as well. What I would say again, though, is that you had less of an excuse to do that. Miami had a little more wriggle room. You could see a human nature being what it is, up 2-1, and that layoff affecting you negatively. Well, they could just sort of say, well, we've got this cushion, so that's, you know, you see that. The team that's down 2-1 and you have to have it, that's the way you come out. So I think it's, you know, even though both teams sort of suffered from it, it's far more inexcusable on the Celtics than the Heat.
I mean, when you're behind, you're always, you know, you're more desperate. You should be more focused. There should be more urgency just by default. But you know what? The fact that both teams came out that way, I think that bubble is doing weird things to people, man. It is for teams to come out like that in a game four is like inexcusable. Normally, you would say the time off gives you time to recharge. Yeah. Maybe it's the opposite in that bubble. It gives you time to obsess over the fact that you're there. And you're like, I got to get out of here.
Well, one team is able to overcome it. The other team's not.
No question.
And you're the team that's not. And, as we're just talking about it today, if you have any developing opinions, let's hear them at 617-779-0985. Mine is just back to, you know, those Brian Robb stats, the clutch and late stats, the fact that, there's been the exact same amount of points scored by both teams so far this series. If you look at lead time, you've led for more portions of the game than they have, yet you're down 3-1. So why? Why? And the answer is how you play in those last 5 minutes. And how you play in those last 5 minutes, to me, is not coming down to talent, because those first two stats tell you you have the talent. And Danny Ainge said it. He thinks they're as good as the Heat, if not better, which I would agree with. So then why are you losing these games late? Which means it's coming down to what we've talked about. Nerve, you said, Maz. Poise. Will. Toughness. Coaching. Togetherness. Like those intangibles is why you're losing at the end of these games.
All there.
And that's what's the most striking thing to me.
I mean, there's no way around that. There's just no way around it. Again, we can disagree over how good the Celtics are or anything else. But I didn't tell you that I thought the Celtics would steamroll them in the series. I thought this thing would go 7. They're getting steamrolled the other way. I mean, that's the part is, I just did not expect them to cave like this. In these spots, I did not expect them to crumble and cave the way they have.
And I think one of the root causes is this internal thing that's still happening with the team. They don't know whose team it is. They're fighting over whose team it is. No one's comfortable letting another guy be the guy, whether it's on the floor or even off the floor. And I think there's all sorts of muckiness there. And it came out last night. It's come out in the last couple weeks. That one game, that one blowout after game two in the locker room did not solve it, because how could it? How could 36 hours erase a couple of years that's obviously been building up between Smart and Brown, or between Smart and Brown and Tatum? Whatever that dynamic is, there's something not right there. And I think that's getting in the way. I think that's getting in the way of us seeing nerve, poise, will, toughness, coaching, all of this, and the selfishness or immaturity or whatever it is, there's something there that's getting in the way. Because I see Miami as a fully functional team where certain guys are allowed to go off on certain nights and they get full support and they get the ball. Tyler Herro's a 20-year-old rookie from Wisconsin. Yeah, and you know what? Jimmy Butler is just as happy to give him the ball, and Dragic and Duncan Ryan, the whole rest of the team is just as happy to have that kid, punk kid, nothing kid, rookie, go off and steal the spotlight as they would be to do it themselves.
Yeah, no bitching about minutes, touches, who's getting shots, anything like that with that team.
They don't care. It's your night, go. And full support and everything we can to get you to that spot and win the game. Where if that happened here in Boston, if you had, this is another second guess, the Celts could have moved up at the draft and drafted Tyler Herro. And I said this before, if Danny Ainge had added Tyler Herro to this team, how do you think Smart, Brown, and Tatum would have reacted? You think they would have, you know, welcomed him with open arms and given up their roles so he could go off on it? No, I think those guys would bury the kid. And, you know, and there he'd be part of the mess in there about, well, you know, why are you getting your shots? It's my team. It's my shots. Well, you know, no, this is the way we should be playing. We should be sharing the ball. Jaylen Brown, yeah, we talked about that. I didn't get my shots. We talked about that. Like, it'd be all that mess. I don't know if the kids on the Celtics could handle a good rookie like that.
Yeah, I mean, too many cooks in the kitchen as it is. Like, to me, it's not, look, I'm not telling you they couldn't use Herro. The kid's a good player. I just think that this, we saw some of it in the Toronto series. So this has been the constant thing. It's been the one repetitive thing from series to series, game to game. They can't figure it out. They can't figure it out.
Okay, there's your Celtics reset to you and your thoughts. Andrew in Waltham, what are your thoughts on the Celts?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to tell you how soft I think the Celtics are. Those last 5 minutes right at the end, they are just so soft. Would love to see some Kevin Garnett-style energy. And it starts at the top, starts with Brad. Brad can't get them all to get fired up at the end to really grit out and fight out a win.
Okay,
and I hope some changes. Go Celtics.
Few coaches can. Yeah, go Celtics. Few coaches can. So I asked this before. If they added Kevin Garnett to this team, would Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown listen to him?
No, probably not.
Well, no. So look, again, and I mean, I'd like to think a guy like Garnett, they would. I think it's that kind of guy that they need. But the attitude of the young guys is a problem. It is. If they're unwilling to be receptive to it, forget it. I mean, it didn't work with Kyrie, but he's an a-hole, so we can chalk it up to that. I'd like to think there's someone that can get through to him, but at this stage, who knows?
If they lose this series, which I think that they will, whether that's Friday, Sunday, or even Tuesday in Game 7, hopefully that they learn from the humiliation of this, and that's how they'll grow. Because I don't know if they would listen to someone like that, or anybody, even if it's, you know, Bill Russell. Because
I don't know if they're ready to.
Yeah, Tatum thinks he's arrived, and Brown, like you say, Mike, thinks he's the smartest guy in the room at all times. So people like that, like, they got to change themselves before, you know, before they actually listen to someone like that.
I mean, there's some serious growing up there that still has to happen. Hopefully.
Dan in Marshfield on Ainge and his general managership. Go ahead, Dan.
So, ever since Danny Ainge traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie, it's kind of blew up in his face.
So can I just stop you, Dan? Danny Ainge doesn't look at it that way. He looks at, since I traded the lottery pick for Kyrie Irving, they don't care about Isaiah Thomas. They care about those lottery picks.
Right.
But go ahead.
Right. Well, I think he's taken a major step back since he did that, and he's very reluctant to bundle up anything and trade anything away to, you know, he's afraid to mess up the chemistry or whatever. But and one more thing is that Kyrie, you guys say that, you know, he wasn't the problem. I think there's lasting effects from Kyrie Irving on this team. You know, it's like when you have a puppy and it's 4 weeks old, that's when it learns, you know, everything.
Kyrie gave these kids a bad childhood, and they haven't overcome it yet.
Yeah, but again, so look, and I'm not here to defend Kyrie, so they get off the hook.
Right, I'm with you.
Like, see, this is what, can you stop blaming Kyrie? He's not here anymore. He was an a-hole while he was here. He deserved a tremendous amount of the blame while he was here. Fine, yes. Now he's not here. Early in the year, they were playing well. At times, they play together. Why is it now still Kyrie's fault?
I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming Tatum. You know, he's still his buddy.
I know. So listen.
Yeah, they still talk on the phone.
Tatum and Kyrie still are close.
I mean, how do you explain that first half last time?
So I look at Jason Tatum.
Of course.
So, like, you know.
Yes.
You don't understand that he was bad news, Jason? You don't get that? That he was a bad influence? And he handled things wrong and was bad for you guys? Like, you don't get it? You somehow think you want his guidance?
this guy?
Right.
So what does that say about Tev? Screw Kyrie. I don't care about him anymore. What does that say about Tatum?
Well, so this is my concern, and I felt like there was some of this with the young guys when Kyrie was here. This attitude of, you know, my poop doesn't stink. So, okay, well, then here you go. Go ahead. Play. Play. You don't need the coach. You don't need your teammates. Go ahead. Play. Go 0 for whatever in the first half and turn it over however many times you want. And I told you a little while ago, I looked it up. You know who made all the turnovers last night? Tatum, Brown, and Smart. 14 of the 19 were those guys. Those three guys. The big three, quote unquote. 14 of the 19 turnovers. Nice job.
Here's Doug in Hawaii. Hi, Doug. You're up next with Felger and Mass.
Yeah, hey guys. I think this all goes back to that Game 6 meeting that Smart tried to call on the sideline, and someone on your team said he was BS and was someone on the bench there. But bottom line is he was disrespecting Smart as he tried to get everybody's attention, get them to dig in, try to get them to be nasty. And I think from that point forward, it sent the signal that, okay, so we don't have to listen to anybody. And their grit on defense, especially Tatum's, he shows nothing. He waves at people as they go by. He doesn't get down. He's practically standing straight up. He just does zero on defense. Then he tries those LeBron blocks from behind to show that he's big time. He's not out there. He's not engaged on defense, and that sends a signal to everybody
else.
I'll
tell you what, he does
sometimes.
Sometimes. He has some flashy blocks. That's true. He D'd up Butler well in game one when they lost it, you know, and Butler beat him. But, like, that was man defense.
I think it's related to his offense. When it's not going his way on the offensive end, he fades.
We're going to play an Ainge cut later on that says that exact same thing. You've talked about this team a lot, that their defense fades when the shots aren't going in.
Yeah, which, again, it's a sign of mental weakness. That's what it is. There's no mental toughness there. They wilt. They crack. They're brittle. They're soft. Use whatever word you want. What the caller said earlier about them being soft, he's right. It's not about, you know, being willing to go in there and get hit on a foul. It's when it starts going the other way. Can you fight back? Can you hang in there? Or do you wilt? When you miss shots, do you start giving up on defense? Do you not run out to defend a three? Do you just wave your arms? Tatum can play D now when he wants to play. He's always been able to do it when he wants to. So now, you know, we've seen flashes of it this year. You say he's improving. And parts of his game are improving. But it's totally related to the offensive end. If he's not going right on that end, he checks out.
Steve in the car wants to follow up on our Buccaneers conversation. Yes, Steve.
Hey, guys. I think that the Buccaneers are going to be there at the end of the year. But, you know, overall, I have a question for you. Tampa Bay has one of the smallest markets in the country. They're leading the East with a 6-4-9 record. They're about to win the Stanley Cup in hockey. Who would you choose to be, Boston or Tampa Bay? Right?
Boston.
Oh, not even close.
Well, with the teams?
So, I mean, he's talking about the Rays
and the
Lightning and that Boston.
Yeah, they're the center of the sports universe right now.
And no one cares.
And the Rays and Brady
and
that's
what
Bucks.
He's mentioning. No one cares. Not
exactly.
Even there. Not even there. Not even there do they care. They don't care. So,
no. You can have Tampa.
You got it.
America's colon.
Absolutely. Well,
they're on the up, we're on the down.
Great.
I don't know, with those teams.
Anus of America.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, but you get to walk around with a golf shirt and an alligator on your boob.
And I can golf all the time?
Yes.
America's colon.
I've made my decision.
Meet me at Mons Venus, Space Odyssey 2001.
Fine.
Or whatever it's called.
Like you wouldn't be into that, man.
Jim in Pennsylvania, quickly go.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Just a few thoughts on the game yesterday, and I agree with a lot of the comments that were just made. When I look at it from just a basketball standpoint, the part that's really difficult for me to get my head around is just the turnovers. Many of them are just careless, the result of a bad decision, and it's almost as if the players have no appreciation or understanding of the magnitude of the game or the situation, and these live ball turnovers create opportunities, scoring opportunities going
yes.
the other way.
It's some intangible. It's not a talent thing.
Yeah, if I look at game four, right, so we lose by one possession, and we have 19 turnovers, and they have 8. Right, so that's 11 different net possessions in favor of Miami. You'd like to think that's obviously a critical part of the game.
What's your second point, quickly, Jim?
Yeah, so the second piece is around Danny Ainge's draft. So we talk about the weak bench, especially players from 7 on down. We've wasted so many draft picks over the years.
Oh, my God.
Especially those mid to later first-round picks.
Oh, my God. Jim, I'm going to cut you off there because I'm up against it, but I just wanted to get to that because, oh, my God, this hoarding of late first-round picks is just – it drives me bananas. It drives me bananas at the trade deadline. Drives me bananas at the draft. It's like you're going to draft 3 more guys?
Well, you need to see a Red Claws game so you can truly appreciate all those picks.
For the end of your bench, Miami's last 2 first-round picks – Tyler Herro, Bam Adebayo. Boom, boom, drafted 13th and 14th, which again is no man's land in the NBA, which is Nowheresville. It's purgatory. You're not supposed to get players there. Bang, bang, last two drafts. Herro, Adebayo.
The Celts have number 14 from Memphis this year.
That was starting 2017. So the three players that they've drafted since 2017 are Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, and then something named KZ Akpala. KZ. Akpala? I don't know. Pretend he's on the team. Since 2017, three players, but two of which
are good,
are studs. And can play.
One's already an all-star.
The Celtics, since 2017, have drafted Jabari Bird, Kadeem Allen, Semi Ojeleye, Jason Tatum, give it to him, Robert Williams, Tremont Waters, Grant Williams, Matisse Thybulle, who they traded to Philadelphia, Romeo Langford. They drafted nine guys. One of them can play. And so what did you do with all those picks?
It's a good point.
What did you do with all those picks? Why are you making all those selections?
It's a good point.
Why don't you trade them? You bundle them up, get something. And he deserves that criticism at the trade deadline. He deserves that criticism at the draft. What are you doing with all those effing picks?
Yeah, those picks, again, once you get past, like, you know, the middle of the first rounds, really the last shot you have, those things become worthless. They really do fast.
Allegedly, they loved Tyler Herro, and they let him go to Miami to pick before him. So is that on the list of second guesses? We'll pick that up on the other side.
Felger and Mats on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mats on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now Adebayo, shot clock winding down. Hands off to Herro. Straightaway three is good. What a night for Tyler Herro.
He's coming off these picks and you just can't get to him. You got to switch that.
Butler against Kemba. Backs him down to the mid block. Butler shovels for the trailer. Scooping it up and in, of course, is Tyler Herro. 35 for Tyler Herro, and the Heat take the Celtics' best punches in the second half, and they're going to take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And this is a smart play. Back your man in, and everybody went to sleep. Herro comes in, lays it up softly. No rim protector.
He was the guy that we liked. I'm sure many teams liked, but yeah, I don't think anybody saw that he was going to be this good.
What a cop-out by Danny Ainge. And that was from his interview this morning where he's asked about his interest in Tyler Herro. And I get, you know, Murray, you've heard Gasper talk about it quite a bit, right? Didn't the Celtics work him out and come away gaga?
Oh, yeah. No, they worked him out. Ainge wouldn't shut the hell up about him. It was clear. This was the guy. Danny Ainge truly wanted Tyler Herro. But to get him, I might have to get rid of some of these picks. And I covet these picks. I love these picks. I need to keep putting players up in Portland, Maine on the Red Claws. Oh, what am I to do? Oh, you have him taken by your rival, Pat Riley. Now, granted, they lost in that coin flip. That's how the Heat were able to get him a pick before. But still, if you didn't shut up about him, maybe Riley wouldn't have known, and he still would have been there, and you could have selected him. It's just that whole thing last night. I don't know how anyone can watch that. If you knew that there was legitimate interest there, like if anyone was paying attention, you did. And you see Herro go off for 37 points. I don't know how you don't come away from that game not frustrated with Danny Ainge and how he's drafted and how he's coveted these stupid picks. And
so even losing,
he's complicit for this last night. He is.
So, and again, I forget all this. The Heat and Boston finished with the same record, so they had to.
It was a coin flip.
Yeah. Is that really?
It sounds right.
Okay, so you lose a coin flip, so you're at 14, they're at 13. What precluded you from trading up with, is it Charlotte at 12, Minnesota at 11, Atlanta at 10? It feels like a bunch of crap came off the board there. I don't know.
And so maybe there's some residual, I don't want to get pants by Danny Ainge, right? Like that probably goes around the league with some GMs. Like, I don't want to be in the losing end of a deal considering the ones he won.
Oh, come on. You can still move.
I agree with that. So if that's what it is, well, then bowl them over.
You had
throw in
those...
more terrible picks. I don't know.
You had three first-round picks. You had three first-round picks. I don't know if anyone can play. I mean, well, one of them was Taboul, who went to Philly. So you came away with the two of the three for more draft picks down the line, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what you traded that him for, but...
Carson Edwards they ended up with out of that deal.
Ay vey. So, I mean, Taboul can actually play too. He had a good year in Philly, didn't he? Or at least a good...
Tybull, yeah, Tybull.
For Tybull, whatever. He had a good first half.
It's not a Mid-Eastern snack.
So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think these are fair second guesses for Danny Ainge if he was so enamored of him. But what a cop-out to say no one thought he'd be this good.
Well, that's a crock.
If you drafted him, you think he'd be saying that?
No.
He'd be saying, yeah, you know, we saw he had a great attitude and a tremendous shot and he had a killer instinct and, you know, we thought he had a high ceiling, which is why we drafted him. If that were your player, Danny, you wouldn't say no one thought he'd be that good. What a cop-out that is.
I mean, other than the guys that they get in the high lottery, Smart, Tatum, Brown, they gotta get something out of the middle of that draft. I mean, you know, because you can add in the whole Kelly Olynyk Giannis experience if you want. Not that they were the only one to miss on that. But, like, you look at it and you say they're getting guys in the middle there that they're missing on guys in the middle there.
So
that
good.
And the teams that are hitting are in their conference.
I mean, and to me it's the volume. It's the number of picks that just blow me away. So we'll just go the last. This is just the last 5 years. There's only two rounds. Okay, so but think of this.
Correct.
There's only two rounds. It's like the NFL where there's seven rounds. There's two rounds. You only get two picks a year. So somehow they now have... this is since starting in 2016, okay? Abdel Nader, Ben Bentel, Demetrius, and I'm going to talk, including guys that they traded immediately, okay? So I'm just the guys that came off the board with their selections. Abdel Nader, Ben Bentel, Demetrius Jackson, Rade Zagorek, Deonte Davis, Ante Zizic, Gerbershon Ubiselli.
I forgot about Zizic.
Then there was Jaylen Brown, Jabari Bird, Kadeem Allen, Semi Ojeleye, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, Tremont Waters, Grant Williams, Matisse Taboul, Romeo Langford. So yeah, I just think, was it 15, 20 guys? What are you doing with all those players?
Good question. I don't know. There was that one year in particular where they drafted all those Euros and stashed them overseas, Swiss bank accounts.
Gerbershon Ubiseli, Ante Zizic, and, well, those were the other two first-round picks in 2016. It's just like, oh, my God, pick after pick after pick. And so you all that volume. Meanwhile, the guy you really want, presumably, is the pick right ahead of you. You don't want to package some of those to move up ahead of Riley and get the guy? And then he torches you for 37 in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's karma.
Yeah, and it'd be rough to deal with because Hero, you can tell, is like, okay, this kid's a good role player. Maybe 15 points, 16 points a night, maybe 20. That last night, and I don't think that's a fluke, that kid's a sniper. Like, he's going to be a problem.
He can shoot.
He's going to be a problem for years.
Oh, no, that's going to be, he's going to be a ghost. He's a ghost. That one's going to haunt them for years.
Is he?
Oh, I think he's a solid player.
You don't think you can take him out? Is he big enough? You know, and I say thick enough.
But
is
he
what
can
I
put
mean.
It on the floor too. The flaw with him will probably come at the other end of the floor.
Yeah, he's a good rebounder. Like, he gets rebounds. We were talking about it last night. Like, he gets rebounds. He's got some length, but can he stand up? I mean, if you put it up to 30 NBA general managers, you could have Marcus Smart or Tyler Hero.
Ooh,
who gets taken first?
Probably Smart.
Smart.
Yeah, I would say Smart, yeah.
So Tyler Hero is still no better than your fourth player.
Well, that's right. Yeah, no, he's a role guy. I mean, last night was, you know, a career game for him, but not that his career is all that long. He's pretty good, though.
But what stands out to me is how functional it is in Miami, where the rookie is allowed to go off like
well,
that.
Well, so that's the big thing.
With full support of his teammates on the floor, off the floor. No one's worried about their ego or their shots or whose team it is or whose night it is. And I just think, even if Ainge had drafted Tyler Hero, I don't think he'd be put in the same position here by his teammates. The coach would do it, I think. But the teammates would never have allowed him to flourish the way he's flourished because there'd be all this jealousy and pettiness and immaturity and all the crap that's going on with the team.
Which, you know, look, to me, that's still the core problem. All I'm telling you is, could Hero help the Celtics? Of course. But this series should not hinge on that. If that pick is what cost him this series, then we're missing something.
I promise, right back to your phones after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, here it is, right? I feel like the Celtics had several opportunities to actually take control of this game. Several opportunities. It was two people that came to play tonight. Two on the Celtics team, in my opinion, that had the sense of urgency. Now, you could say Marcus Smart didn't shoot the ball well, but his sense of urgency was there. Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker. Jason Tatum, yeah, he got it going. He hit a few shots, him and Jaylen Brown, but I didn't see the passion. I didn't see the sense of urgency. You look at him in the timeout, it was either Kemba Walker or Marcus Smart having that tenacity. I didn't see no high-fiving. You look at the Heat bench was up. Guys were high-fiving. Guys were showing and playing with emotions. Guys were playing rough. I didn't see that out of the Celtics, and you're down 2-1. I saw it out of two guys, Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart. I don't care about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown hitting shots. That's not what I wanted to see tonight. I didn't see that sense of urgency from the start of the game.
So true. Never mind Tatum's shooting, whatever, 0 for 7, but, you know, no points. Like, we all saw that. No killer instinct. What a... I hate that cliche, but like the look in his, the glaze on his eyes, Maz. What was that?
I have no idea. Vacant.
Vacant. Exactly.
I mean, it was. It was vacant. It was like he didn't want to be out there, or it was just another regular season game taking a night off. I have no idea. I couldn't even begin to tell you. 0 for 6 in the first half, 0 for 4 from 3, which again, in and of itself, that should tell you plenty. That of his 6 shots, 4 of them were behind the arc. Like, so you go right across and you say, what? He just wasn't engaged. And then not, I mean, in the first half, I'm not sure anybody on either team was fully engaged. I thought the first half was one of the worst halves of playoff basketball I've ever seen.
Sure.
Absolutely brutal. But to your point, you're talking about one team being up 2-1 and the other being down 2-1. The team that's down 2-1 can't come out like that.
Meanwhile, your best player. What was up with that? Josh in the car, back to your phones. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, two quick points. So point number one is I know everybody's, you know, got their panties in a bunch about what's going on in this series, but let's call a spade. If this was the real NBA regular season and, you know, we weren't in the bubble, the Celtics, when all the teams in the East are healthy, I mean, the Celtics realistically are the fourth or fifth best team. So let's not get this all, you know, convoluted.
I so disagree with
they
that.
They probably would have gotten they would have probably gotten bounced by Philly in the first round if Simmons was healthy. And again, there was a home court advantage factor. No, my second point is this: with Tatum, it's the Tatum Brad Stevens dynamic. You got one of two options. You either got to trade Tatum, okay, which I know sounds ridiculous. You got to trade Tatum and try to get a hole back for him, or you got to fire Stevens and you got to bring somebody in here with an iron fist in the mold of a guy like a Tom Thibodeau or a Jeff Van Gundy.
I'm just going to stop you, okay, because I just think you're...
And what have those guys accomplished?
Okay, so neither are going to happen, by the way. They keep extending Stevens. So it's like they're not going to do that, and they're not going to trade Jason Tatum. Okay, it's up to those two to figure it out. It's not, and there's no changes there. And they weren't going to lose to Philly with home court advantage. That's stupid. You want to tell me that they would have lost to Toronto being in Toronto? Okay, given what I now know about the Celtics and their lack of balls... Yeah, that's entirely possible. So they might not have gotten out of the second round if it was a true home road kind of year.
But even that, who cares? They're in the bubble. Yeah, exactly. It is what it is.
Exactly. It's right there in front of them.
Right. Like, well, once it becomes what it became, everything changed. That was sort of the whole point. Is that the owner of the team said it. He thought their chances were better. They had a shot. So this is the whole point, that because it fell the way it fell, you had an opportunity that otherwise wouldn't have been there. So what's wrong with capital? Like, that one irritates me. So let's just write the whole thing off, because it wouldn't have happened if we weren't in the midst of a pandemic. So what are we supposed to write off everything?
Oh, by the way, I still think it should have and would have happened. You're still more talented than Toronto. You're still more talented than any team in the East other than maybe Milwaukee. So if it was a regular year, you should still be here.
I just hate going to that sort of logic. Well, you know, if the pandemic had never happened, they would have lost anyway. Well, the pandemic did happen. So now you want me to pretend that something that actually happened didn't? What the hell are we doing here?
That's why we moved on, Maz. Luke and Bridgewater. Go ahead, Luke.
That's great. Yeah, we should trade Tatum now. That is hilarious. So that's kind of the problem with the Celtics is we don't have that number one go-to guy rely on in the clutch, which I was led to believe. I thought that was supposed to be Tatum. I know, Smart and Brown like to think it's them, but it's supposed to be Tatum. But in a got-to-have-it game, you cannot come out in the first 24 minutes and score 0 points. The kid's just not ready.
Okay, so that's it. And again, to say not ready is would be an optimistic view because that implies that he will be ready at some point when he grows up.
But it might be that.
Oh, of course it might be that.
Yeah, it might be that.
You hope it's that. You hope it's that. You hope that ultimately he is ready.
Right.
The side piece is that he'll never be ready.
That's scary.
That's the scary part. But make no mistake. I mean, again, clutch and late, which in the NBA, again, they consider it clutch. So there is a clutch stat in the NBA, clutch numbers. Within 5 points with 5 minutes left or less in a game. Okay, that's considered a clutch situation in the NBA. 5 minutes or less, point differential of 5 or less. Jason Tatum, this series in that situation, is 1 for 9 and is minus 23. If you're also counting, just in case you're curious, Jaylen Brown's 1 for 4, minus 23. Marcus Smart's 1 for 5, minus 24. As a team, their rating, their offensive and defensive ratings, which you advanced stat nerds know what it's all about.
Well, people need to listen closely to that. This is unbelievable.
Their offensive rating in the last 5 minutes, plus or minus 5 points in this series, offensive rating is 87.9, which means that's per 100 possessions, which generally means that is what they would score over the course of a 48-minute basketball game.
Right. The 88 points, that'd be like the worst in the league.
Their defensive rating would be 144.4. Which means if you played a 48-minute basketball game, as you have played the last 5 minutes in close situations this series, you would have lose a basketball game 144 to 87. A net rating of minus 56.6. That number's unbelievable, isn't it?
57 points, minus 57 is their net rating. That is getting your ass kicked. That is getting your ass kicked, and then someone picks you up and wipes the floor with your ass. That's what they do. That is such a beating. That isn't even funny.
So is a big issue the Celtics' lack of a closer? Listen to this Danny Ainge cut coming back, where we'll play coming back from commercial. It is Danny Ainge screaming from the rooftop that they have no closer, and Jason Tatum is not it. He says it in so many words. You'll hear it coming back, and we'll take your thoughts. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you think this team has a definitive playoff closer?
I think that Jason Tatum is as close as we have in that right now.
Is that good enough? Is that good enough in your opinion?
I think it is good enough, yes, because he doesn't have to do everything all by himself. Like, he doesn't have to. He can. Jason is right before our eyes becoming a terrific passer. He's growing like Paul grew in his career, where sometimes you think you have to shoot every shot, and sometimes it's best to give the ball up to your teammates and trust them. And I think Jason is growing right before our eyes at making those decisions.
That answer not say at all, Mass?
Oh, I thought that was the most interesting exchange in the whole interview.
I mean, that's the architect of the team.
you give a definitive yes or no answer to that, even if you have to lie.
Why?
To
he did. It was definitive. It was definitive.
Yeah, that's
no.
How
it was wishy-washy.
No, it wasn't. He just didn't say the word no. But listen, Jimmy, listen to the pause. The pause is all you need to know. And then he basically says the closest we have is Tatum. He just doesn't utter the word N-O. But everything else he does. The beginning of the cut again, Jimmy.
Do you think this team has a definitive playoff closer?
I think that Jason Tatum is as close as we have in that.
Stop. He's saying they don't.
Yeah.
Well, Tatum's as close as we have.
Yeah, that means you don't have one. And I'll tell you, what I find interesting about the exchange is not just that he admitted that they don't have one, because they don't. I mean, they don't. He's not there yet. But that it's necessary. You follow me?
In other words,
because usually what you get is, well, you know, the Detroit Pistons won and... But no, because Chauncey Billups had some balls and, you know, so the idea, usually what you get is, well, this whole idea of a closer is a bit of a myth.
Yeah.
Right? And he didn't say that.
No, sir.
So it's almost, he acknowledges that you need somebody who's going to bury that shot at the end of the game and make the right play.
But that pause.
I just think that does a disservice to Jason Tatum. Not that he's probably going to hear this, maybe he does, but if it gets back to him, it's like, oh, you don't believe in me. Like, I think that could potentially hurt Jason Tatum and his growth. I think you have to lie there. Mm. He got caught with that question, and for him to say, I mean, he told the truth. It was definitive. I see what you mean, but, dude, you have to say, yes, it's Jason Tatum, even if you don't believe it, or yes, it's Jason Tatum, just as a straight lie. He goes, And then he compliments his passing. No, it's Jason Tatum. Yes, I trust him to hit daggers with 1 second left on the clock. He is our finisher. Yes, that's it. Instead, like it's a definitive answer, but it's a brutal answer because it's true. But man, you can't say that. Like, you have to either say it and believe it or say it and lie. Yes, it's Jason Tatum, but not.
Oh, God.
After a long pause,
that 5 second,
you got to think about it. Because guess what? You don't trust any of them.
So what? He's
they don't have it.
He's formulating an answer to say no without saying no, which
right.
is what he did. He said, "Jason Tatum's as close as we have. Is that good enough? Yes, because he passes the ball well."
Not what you're looking for.
That's what you're looking out of your closer. Like, it said it all there. It said it all. So Tatum not ready. You hope to say he's not ready. That he will be ready one day. Again, I keep saying this. The bad news is he just might not have it. Like, there's the NBA's littered with super talented guys who can score on their own and have all the skills, but just don't have it, that thing. And Tatum doesn't have it. You hope he doesn't have it yet, and that he someday does. No guarantee that he will.
I mean, there is no guarantee, and that's the thing is, yeah, because in their defense, those guys are a little early still. I mean, it's still a little young. They're still a little young. It typically happens like 6 years in, something like that, or thereabouts. So that, which is fine, but they don't have it now. They don't.
So we're running cuts from it. You will hear a couple more throughout the rest of the show. The Ainge interview this morning on TNR I thought was excellent. So you can listen to it online, 985thesportshub.com or the app, and we'll play more cuts here coming up as well. Dakota in Braintree on Ainge. Go ahead, Dakota.
Before I get to Danny Ainge, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to give away a lucky fall or that 10K because the Celtics now have to win three in a row. So because Jim Murray, you know, pissed me off the other day and said the Patriots have no shot to win like more 9 or 10, I'm giving away 11K for 11 Patriot wins this season. And it already has 3,100 retweets. So, Jim, we're going to have that second place 5K for you.
So hold on.
All right. I'll retweet that for you.
Yeah. You think the Patriots can win the 11 games?
Oh, that's great. I'm putting out things that can happen. I'm not going to root against. I want to give away this money, Mike, okay? I'm putting out things that can happen against what people think. Jim says, no way 11 games. I'm saying yes.
Okay, but
so
you,
one
but...
of my followers is going to win 11,000, and if it gets retweeted 5,000 times, 5K for second place. So it's 11 for 11 for the Patriots.
Why are you so eager to give away money?
Why? I just...
Trying to bring joy during a dark time.
Yeah, someone's coming after you. What are you going through, a divorce or something?
Right, exactly. Jim, laundering. He's divesting. Yeah.
Jim, you hit it on the head. This has been a tough year, I think, for everyone. And I'm not talking from a financial standpoint. From emotional, depression, anxiety year. And I'm tired. I need distractions. I think people need distractions. So by doing this, it's helping me to give it my own distraction, but I think it's also getting people back to sports and rooting for something that hopefully they can get lucky and win. And that's why I'm doing it.
Santa Claus. All right. What's your Celtics say?
So two things on Danny's blunders about moving around his poker chips, okay? For one, early in the offseason, they had to trade Aaron Baines to free up space because there was potential of bringing Horford back or not. Yeah. Once Baines left, Horford was off the table. It forced them to go get Kemba. And then what did they do once they had Kemba? They went out and got Cantor. So who would you rather have on this team, Aaron Baines or Cantor? 100% Aaron Baines. The guy's one of the best defenders in the post. I have him. He brings the toughest. The most important part, Chris Mannix broke the story. You talked about it on your station at the trade deadline. The Celtics were very close to landing Bertrands from Washington, the 6'10", dead-eye three-point shooter that if we had on this team, he would be breaking down the Miami zone. They would not be able to go because you have another shooter on the field. And the reason it got held up is Danny didn't want to part with two first-round picks. I asked this question to you, Danny Ainge, because it wasn't asked this morning. Knowing that your team now is getting close to the NBA Finals, would you want to give up your Romeo Langford and whoever
else? Hey, Dakota, let me stop you. He was asked. Because, again, this interview asked all the questions you would want asked. He was asked. Let's run it. Number five, Joe Murray asked Danny Ainge point blank, should he have done more? Go.
Hey, Danny, seeing how the Heat did at the draft and how they did at the trade deadline, do you question if you could have done more to help this team this year?
Yeah, I always question that. I always question the deals that we had and look back at, you know, like what a deal that we might have been able to do. But quite honestly, we didn't have any deals that I regret not doing, I think, for the short term and the long term. So I do question those things, and I do, you know, wish that we could have had a little bit more help on the bench. But you know, the price it was going to take for the guys that we wanted, it's probably wise that I didn't do it.
So, in other words, the price being Romeo Langford and Grant Williams for the player they really wanted.
Can't part with them.
Nope, too much of a price.
I mean, I don't love either one of those guys.
They're role players.
I mean, you know, what I would find interesting is whether if he knew that they were going to be in a bubble if he would have done it. Like, you know, would he have looked at it and said, our chances would be better without home court? I don't know. I'm asking. I have no idea. But this is the kind of move that they have to be willing to make if they want to take that next step. You're going to have to give up something to get a piece, and you can't just look to win every trade. You can't do it. The trading deadline, to me, was a big miss.
Final hour, your reaction to the Celtics' loss last night, where they stand in this series, where they stand as an organization. Who do you blame for their current position? Players? Coach? The general manager? And if they do lose this series, which it looks like they will, is that a failure? Have they failed? We'll pick up that question, which Danny Ainge was asked as well this morning by Joe Murr, which you'll hear his answer to that. We'll get your reaction to it as well after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.